Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 20 through 26. And let's go here to the PowerPoint. I've entitled this morning's message, Walk in the Ways of Jesus. Now, I didn't know what the worship team had lined up this morning, but the last song was what? I'll follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, this message is about the cross. The cross. And as we all know, that the culture right now that we live in is becoming very dark. And it has a pull, it has a draw, and it's drawing us into places like I haven't seen in generations of the past. When I was a child, I didn't see the dark things that I'm seeing today. I didn't see the commercials that we see today. I didn't see the things now that they're teaching in schools today. When I was a child, you know, we could play with our bicycles out in the street, play tag football in the street. We didn't have to worry about drive-bys and kidnappers and things in that nature. Now you have to bring in your kids before the sun sets. Amen? It's like, wow. And we're seeing the culture. And I know that even though it's dark, the Bible tells us that Jesus is brighter. Amen. God is greater. That's right. The Lord is mightier. And we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so God is saying, don't let the enemy fool you right now. Because let me just say this. In the midst of that darkness, the Bible says this, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. In other words, no matter what predicament, no matter what situation you find yourself in, God is there much greater than the darkness. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? And our hope lies in Christ. That's where our hope comes from. But Jesus, in this passage of scripture that we're going to read, makes a profound statement. And I'm hoping it resonates, that it resounds in our spirit, that God will give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Because there's one thing that he asked his disciples to do, and we're going to read it right now. So let's go there, John chapter 12. Let's go. Here we go. Verses 20 through 26. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Let me pause right there. What he meant was that after 3.5 years, then the Lord would be crucified on a cross. Well, when he said the hour had come, meaning the 3.5 years had already come to pass, and now he's just days away from being crucified on the cross. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. What Jesus was saying here, he had to die to be raised again. Yes. Can I get amen? Listen, how many of you do gardening? Okay. So your gardening's at Albertsons, right? In the Costco cool section. That's where I get my garden, right? Okay, I get it. But listen, when you cultivate the soil and you do everything what you're supposed to do to plant your your whatever, vegetables or what have you, that seed has to go into the ground. And then it needs to be cultivated, and then eventually you'll see it sprout up, and then that's the miracle of life. God gives it life. Well, Jesus is saying that I have to go to the cross and die so that I can rise again. Let's go to the next verse of scripture here. Look at this. He who loves, this is key right now. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, now this is Jesus that John wrote down. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So what Jesus is saying, the key to our Christian walk is to continually follow him, to continue to pick up the cross and follow him. Is it going to be an easy and also always a happy road? No. How many of you already have encountered trials and tribulations in your life? Can I get amen? I was sharing with a friend the other day when COVID came for the first time, it derailed a lot of people. Some of them are not here with us today. So I'm talking physically have expired. And then some of them haven't returned back from church. They have a phobia now. And so it has derailed a lot of folks, but I'm here to let you know that greater is he that lives within us than he that's in the world. Can I get amen? And God knows exactly the time where he will quicken you again and cause you to pick up the cross and follow him. So now, let's look at this for a moment right up here. The cross has become a symbol of Christianity, but it's so much more than a mere piece of jewelry hanging around someone's neck. Now, there's nothing wrong with people wearing the crucifixion, praise God. Hopefully, it'll open a door for an unbeliever to say, well, why are you wearing that on your neck? And then that'll open a door. You can share Jesus, right? But it's more than just sometimes people. I remember my sister used to have all these little trinkets and stuff, you know, as a rabbit's foot. You know, and some people are there with that, with their walk with God. God is not a rabbit foot. Can I get an amen? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Paul the Apostle understood that God had sent him throughout the region of Asia, in Rome, in Ephesus, in Thessalonica. Paul went everywhere. He took the gospel from Jerusalem and went out as a missionary. And one of the things that he saw that we should glean off is the power of God. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. This is Paul writing to Corinth in Corinthians. Look at this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. Meaning, he was not an intellectual. He was like just ordinary you and me. Amen? And that's just to let you know and me know that God will use anybody. You don't have to go to a seminary and go there for 4 years and come out thinking you have all the wisdom and knowledge. No, guess what? God will raise you up and teach you right where you're at. Amen. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Praise God. Praise God. That's what the cross is all about Jesus and him crucified. Look at this in verse 3. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Never think that when you're sharing with God that it's wisdom from you. No, it's the power of God upon you. Can I get an amen? And look at this. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is why when my wife asked me to go pray for the young man, I go, I gotta wait on God. I don't want to be seen amongst all these people. I want to go in private where God will show up. And God showed up. See, because we applied our faith. It wasn't the wisdom of me. It was the power of God. Can I get an amen? It was, and that's where God wants to be glorified. He doesn't want the glory from man. He wants to be high and lifted up. And so let's look at this for a moment. Corinth was one of the most corrupt cities of its time. And its belief system was a mixture of various philosophies. Oh, yes, it was. However, the Apostle Paul arrived. He didn't come to discuss philosophy like the people that he encountered. But he only had one message for the people of Corinth. And it was this message right here. Look at this. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. That was it. That was his message. His message was that Jesus died and rose again, and now he has a great plan for your life. Now God wants to give you not only power, wisdom, and knowledge, but how many of you are so blessed to know that you're going to live forever once you get past this physical body? Paul said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And so this is why I don't fear. You know, I used to go, man, Lord, how many years are you going to keep me alive? Because I love what you have me doing. But, you know, these aches and pains and these meds and all these things start accumulating. And you go, man, is it almost time? He goes, don't worry about it. Because the moment I close your eyes, you will open them in my presence. Can I get amen? What's there to fear? Hallelujah. I'm going to be in that new body. Thank you, God. And so will you. And so will you. Praise God. And so, saints, although the cross is a stumbling block, it was a stumbling block to the Jews and to the Gentiles, which were the unbelievers. But to those who are called, Christ crucified is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's be reminded one more time. Let's look at this right here. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Listen, sometimes when you're speaking, and don't get mad, don't get upset, because it's a natural thing. When you're sharing the cross, when you're sharing with unbelievers or people that just don't know God, don't get upset when they think, oh man, that was good for you. I'm glad you found God. Don't get upset. Then why? Because in their natural mind, they don't see God or hear God. They just don't. They don't see what you see. They don't feel what you feel. They don't hear what you hear. But don't get mad at them. You know why? Because we were all the same way. Come on, we were no different. We were no different. We were a mule just like, I was a chief mule. Oh, come on, stubborn as can be. Saints, Paul had a conviction that the crucifixion was the most vital subject he could address. A conviction is being so thoroughly convinced that something is absolutely true that will take a stand for it regardless of the consequences. So when you're sharing, so always remember, when you're sharing Christ with someone that don't know God, just come in Teflon faith, because whatever's thrown back, let it just slip right off you. Can I get an amen? Don't let it bother you. Matter of fact, just pray for them. Just say, oh God, I'm praying for them. They were like me. I didn't know you at one time. And so God should give you a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, a heart of grace toward them. Can I get amen? Paul came there under the unction and the power of God. He didn't care what others had to say other than he needed to get his message out. Praise God. And as believers, we must understand what happened as Jesus died on the cross, so that we too can be thoroughly convinced of its supreme significance. Can I get amen? So let's look at this right here. The crucifixion was God's plan. It wasn't the Romans' plans. It wasn't the Jews, or those that hated him, they wanted him killed. No, it was none of that. Jesus' father ordained the day that he would allow his son to be crucified. Now, I need you to catch this. I've heard some charismatic movement saying that when Jesus was on the cross, that he became sin, and he was homosexual, he was this and that. Now, no, he was sinless. God allowed our sins to be imputed upon him. It was upon him. It was not in him. It didn't change him at all. He was a sacrifice. He sacrificed his son, and he put all of our sins on the cross. Jesus before the cross was sinless. Jesus on the cross was sinless. Jesus rose again was sinless. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so you got to remember, you know, there's some people, well, man, he became all this sin on the cross. No. God imputed that upon him as an offering for us, that we would become saved. That it was through one man's sacrifice that we can have now eternal salvation. Can I get an amen with that? We are blessed. I need you to know that when you walk out of here today, know that you are a blessed people. Hallelujah. Why? Because now that the Father imputed the sins upon him at the cross, now by faith we have received Jesus, and we have received the righteousness of Christ by faith. Now when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood that's covered, hallelujah, by the Son. And we can now have confidence to know that when this day is, which is numbered, and the day comes when it's time, like he said, the hour has come. Well, every one of us is going to have an hour that will come when we have to leave this body of flesh. And we will be with him. Praise God. Saints, although the Jews and the Romans, they both played a role in putting Jesus on the cross, God was the one who had already planned the death of his son as an atonement for mankind's sin. He atoned our sin, and we were washed in his blood. Aren't you so blessed? Look, we have the word to back this up. Look at this in 1 Peter. Look at this. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So in other words, God already saw his son being crucified on this cross before he spoke the world into existence. This is how vast the mind of God is. He knows the beginning and the end. He already saw his son coming to the cross for you and I. That should give you great hope, because he also knows when the hour will come for our life. When it's time for us to go be with him, he's already planned it all out. Praise, aren't you so blessed to know, oh God, when is that? I'm glad God doesn't tell us the day. I got no more hair to lose. I'm so blessed to know that whenever that day is, he has prepared me for that day. Can I get an amen? He's prepared you and I. There should be no fear of death no more. Jesus destroyed death, hell, and the grave for you and I. Praise God. Look at this. But he was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Let me ask this question. Is your faith and hope in God? If it's not, it can be today. There's precious people here that will pray with you, that will lead you to the cross by faith. Listen, it's not about taking a test, come back, let me see if you passed it. No, it's about just surrendering. Say, oh God, here I am. I want to know you even more. I want to know that my sins have been cleansed. And I want to know that I have eternal life. And that is through Jesus. So look at this. Did you know that you were chosen before the whole world was spoken into existence? You got to remember, the world was here before we came here, right? It was already in existence. We were created in our mother's womb, and then we were ushered out. But the whole entire universe, the whole entire existence of life was here before. And guess what? He chose us before he created all things. Oh, you got to show me that, Pastor Fiend. All right, I'll show it to you right here. Ephesians 1:4, look at this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Look at that. That we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure that he saved you and I. He gave us a new mind. He gave us a heart. He gave us his spirit. He gave us his power. He gave us his love and grace and mercy. He gave all of that for us so that we can glorify him here on this earth until he calls us home. And so always be mindful wherever you encounter people. Ask God, God, make this a divine appointment, Lord. Yes. Make it so that you would open up just a small little crack that I could walk in and share Jesus with them. Because they need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the whole key. And so before creation and before sin entered into the world, God had already made a plan in place for our redemption. Did you know that you were redeemed? That's right. It's not like a coupon you take to Walmart and sorry, this coupon expired. No. We are eternally redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How many can't wait to see what God has in store for you and for me? Paul said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the place that God has prepared for you. So how many of you ever been through Rancho Santa Fe? Beautiful. There's $40 million homes there. Beautiful. But do you know that after 2 years or so, they still need to get tented for termites? Plumbing will still fail. The texture still will the stuff around a building? Stucco. Plumbing still needs to be fixed, right? Even though it's beautiful, it's $40 billion. But what God has prepared for you and I, the Bible says that beautiful place is but a dunghill. I'm using King James vernacular. A dunghill compared to what he has prepared for you and I. You know why? Because human hands didn't make it. The glory of God made it. And we're going to be in total awe. Wow. And guess what? We'll be able to stand in his presence without being Listen, when I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had so much joy. I wanted to explode internally. I couldn't contain it. And that was just a little teaspoon of just what his Spirit in me was. I couldn't contain his whole glory. I would explode. Moses said, God said, turn your face, because the moment you look at me, you will what? Be destroyed, because the glory of God would burn them up. We're going to have new bodies where we can stand before God in his glory and not get burned up. Can I get it? How many can't wait for that? Bible says there will be no more sunlight. The glory, the Lamb of God will light up the heavens and we will be in his presence. Praise God. So let's look at this for a moment. God's plan for the crucifixion of his son was motivated by three things. So what motivated God to come here to save us? I like to say it like this. He came to save our bacon. Oh, yes, he came to save us. Look, number one, look at this. The sinfulness of mankind. We're sinful since the fall of man. Since Adam and Eve, they missed the mark in the garden. Guess what? Did that catch God by surprise? He had a plan already in place. The Bible says, before the foundation of the world, just like he chose you and I, he already slew his son, meaning he already saw his son prepared to die for you and I. Man, that's how awesome. You got to get a hold of who God is. That's how awesome and powerful and how much he loves you and I. He went through great lengths to send his only son to die in our place. So, number one is the sinfulness of mankind. And the scripture tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everyone that comes into this world has sinned. This is why we need a savior. Okay, now, number two, here's a second reason. God's love. God's love. Listen, he could have just, you know, when Adam and Eve, and they bit and then sin entered into their dominion, you know what he could have done easily? He could have just said, like that, I'm going to start a new kind of people. He didn't, did he? He told them what they were going to now have to suffer through, but he did not allow them to die. He allowed them to live and to experience the fall. And that later on, that God was going to send his son to even save them. You know that Jesus came back to save them too? Oh, yes. Look at this. Scripture right here. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that something? So listen, when we came into this world, when we were ushered through our mother's womb, Jesus had already died on the cross for us. So somewhere down the road, God allowed us to exist until we came to a place with him where we surrendered our heart to him. For me, it was the age of 30. Prior to that, I was just a knucklehead, chief knucklehead. People used to come witness to me, preach to me, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. But God did not beat me on the head. God didn't send 20 guys to go beat me up. No, he drew me through his love. He allowed the things to unravel in my life so that I had nowhere else to turn but to the people that were telling me how much he loved me. They were telling, people used to come left and right. And I look back now to say that that's how much God loved me. He would send people to share the love of God in my heart. I didn't know when the day would come, but when the day came, when I surrendered, it was joy unspeakable. I felt like a million tons lifted from me. And all the addictions and all the things that I was bound to, I was delivered in a matter of seconds. I didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. I didn't have to go to an AAA, you know, a 10-step program. Gee, you know, thank God for those programs. I'm not going to knock them, but they're 10 steps. With Jesus is 1 step. Can I get an amen? It's 1 step with him. You come to him by faith. I don't care what you're bound in. He will loosen you. He will deliver you. He will save you. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Oh, that's right. God is good. God is good. So now we saw that, number one, the sinfulness of man, why he came, God's love. And then number three, God is a just God. Look at this. God's justice. So you got to remember, Jesus, we're going to have our Christmas service soon, you know, and we're going to sing songs of the manger and when he was born. But he grew up. We all know that, right? He grew up. And his 3.5 years of ministry, then he died, rose again. And then now for the past 2,000 years, he has poured out his spirit. Now men and women are coming into the saving knowledge. Right now it's the church age, but that door is closing. So when it finally closes, he's not going to be Jesus, mercy and grace. No, he's going to remove the believers out of here, and then he's coming back as a judge. He's coming back to judge the wicked in this world. Because he's a just God. Look at what the Bible says. It's right here. It's clear, the word of God. In Ezekiel, the soul who sins will die. So this is why Jesus had to send his son to die for us. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Is it becoming a little clearer for some of you? Amen. Some of us are being reminded this morning, amen? Yes. And for some of you that know this already, just hold on. Just roll with God, amen? He's a good God. Amen. There's some people here that maybe never heard this before or who are watching, and we want to be graceful. That's right. We want to be gracious. Can I get amen? We don't want to walk that we're above them. We're not. We're nobody. I hope you know that we're nobody. We're nobody. We just surrendered and got saved. That's about it. And now we're walking in the blessings, but Christ is for everybody. Can I get an amen? Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we know this scripture right here. The wages of sin is death. We know them. And it must be paid. That's why Jesus had to come to the cross and pay for our sins. Amen. I love God. God could not ignore our sin or simply forgive us because this wouldn't be just. And he cannot deny himself or act contrary to his nature. God, you cannot mold and fashion God to your image. we have to be molded and fashioned by his image. Can I get an amen? Look at this. The crucifixion was where our sin and God's love and justice met. Right on the cross. Aren't you so blessed? That's where we met God. It was at the cross. It was at the crucifixion. Look at that. Saints, Jesus died on the cross as an atonement, which means a payment for sin. In the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices were a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice that would one day atone for sins in all of us. I want you to catch this here in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at this. Hebrews 10:8 says this, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. What is that saying? In the Old Testament, they had to drag bulls. And a lot of them knew, they smelt the blood of the bulls ahead of them. They didn't want to go there. But they had to drag them, and it was a task just to drag an animal to the altar to be sacrificed for a temporary covering. It was temporary. And they hated to do that. So it ended up being a religious act. It was never true worship to God. Oh, man, did you save enough so we could go get this goat? Come on. Yeah, it was a task. It was a burden to them. But Jesus was prepared by his Father. Look at that. Look at this right here in verse 9. Look at this. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. Meaning Jesus came and said, okay, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing away with this Old Testament blood. Aren't you so blessed when we come to the altar? There's not a puddle of blood. As soon as I walk in, I'd be running out of, don't go to that church. Amen. So God took away the first to establish the second covenant. See, the first covenant was done through the law. The second covenant was done by grace, mercy, love. And only he shed his blood, Jesus, for you and I. Aren't you so blessed? See, God has a better plan. He has a better plan than man. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Look at this. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. Turn to your neighbor and say, once and for all, Jesus died for us. Amen. Isn't that something? Once and for all. He'll never have to, listen, saints, he'll never have to do that again. It was done once and for all. Thank you, God. So listen, look at this. The cross is the heart of the Christian life. That's the heart of it. The cross. So if you wear your cross, and there's nothing wrong with that, let it be a door. Let it be a window to share and testify to someone. Can I get an amen? Let it be a reminder of what he did for you and I. Saints, the crucifixion is the divine transaction that saves you and I. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse us from sin and reconcile us back to the Father. And although, saints of God, the Jews and the Romans viewed the crucifixion as the execution of a criminal, God saw it as the perfect atonement that God used to sacrifice and to justify sinful mankind. Man, it was like God had to do it this way so that we wouldn't have to come up with and scheme up something else. Like what our generation is doing today. Did you know the generation today is no different than the Tower of Babel? They're trying to get to God their own way. With humanism, with wokeism, with all these things. They're making a God of their own mind and their own volition. And they don't want to come through the cross. It's no different than it's always been like the Tower of Babel. And we all know it's gotten worse. Can I get an amen? Christ's immeasurable sacrifice surpassed all the previous ones. Now look at this. Look at what it says right here in Hebrew. For Christ has not what? Entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. God, you know what God did? The blood that he shed, he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. that now you and I could come to God and cry out for mercy. Amen. And do you know that God hears you when you repent? When you cry, say, oh, God, save me. I'm a wretched sinner. Man, I'm telling you, that's when he shows up. He shows up powerfully too. And he comes to bring you joy. He comes to lift you up. He comes to save you. He comes to bless your life. He comes to let you know that you've tried all these things in life. Now give me a shot. And once we surrender to him, oh my gosh, I could be here telling you for 10 years all the things he's done for me and still talk about him. He's done so much. Verse 25, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Look at this. He then would have to have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise God. It was Jesus. Jesus did it. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus did it? He did it for us. And this message is all about pick up your cross and keep following him. Listen, times are going to get tougher. They're going to get worse. We know that. Jesus said before he comes, there's going to be gross darkness on the earth. And we're seeing all the things. And we could just list them all, but we already know them. I'm here to encourage you that if God is for us, who can be against us? Can I get amen? Amen. You can make it. The songs today, the last song was about following Jesus. I didn't know what they were going to sing this morning. And they didn't know what my notes were. But this whole message is to continue to follow Jesus despite of the situations of life. Despite of what's going possibly awry in your life. Keep following Jesus. He will see you through. He will see you through. Whatever heartache you're going through, whatever financial, relational, whatever it is, God is there to lift you up, to help you, to see you through. Amen. And allow him to work out all those things in your life. Can I get amen? Here's the bottom line. Learn to trust him. Trust him with your life. He will show you exactly what you need to do. And he will cause divine appointments to take place. And he'll put people in your place, in your path, that will encourage you, to bless you, to help you, to lift you. Praise God, he has a place where we come and worship him. Can I get an amen? We can come here and worship him and praise him and get a word to encourage us. Listen, if you ever hear a word that you feel like someone's condemning you, just say thank you, but no thank you. God will never condemn us. He condemned his son already on the cross. He came to save us, to lift us, to help us, because he knows how frail we are. We're frail beings. I hope you know that. We're finicky. We get tossed to and fro. Our emotions will take us to a mountain peak with him, and then we can crash so fast and then go, oh, woe is me. Okay, only I experienced that. Okay, so... We've all been there, huh? Yes. We've all been there. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, the Old Testament priests entered that temple offering the blood of animals year after year. But Jesus entered one time into the holy place in heaven to appear before God. And what was that? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself of what we just read. So now, look at this. The crucifixion was the only moment in eternity when the Godhead was separated. Meaning... when Jesus was on that cross, he was all by himself. His Father wasn't there with him. The Holy Spirit wasn't there. He was there in the flesh without any sin. And that's why. Let me just say this. Because he had no sin, he understood one thing. Is before he died on that cross, his final words was this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the greatest love that you and I will ever hear, read, and know about. Because for us, it's hard to have that mindset. It's hard for us. That's why God has to put his super on our natural. Amen. It's a supernatural thing to forgive, to let go, to do all these things. So in our own flesh, it's like, mm-mm. It's like this. You ever told a seven-year-old, I need you to sit down, please? You're just running. Can you please sit down? So they'll go sit down, but in their heart, they're standing up. That's how we are, aren't we? We're like that. But praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God did it all for us? He took away our misery. He took away all our fears, our phobias, and all we have to do is just surrender to him, and then he'll show us a greater plan. A greater plan. And when he hung on that cross, it broke the Father's heart. Look at this. God, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Listen, the whole world's sin, past, present, and future, meaning our sins today, was on that cross 2,000 years ago. He took it all. And he felt like he was forsaken. But he had to go to the cross. So here's the good news for you and I. As believers now, don't let the devil lie to you no more. Can I get amen? Amen. A lot of us would rather believe bad news than good news. The good news is that Jesus died in our place, that we're having eternal life now, and we're going to live forevermore with him. And on this earth, we can still experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can still walk in his presence. We can still walk being blessed, having high favor from God. How many want the favor of God? Pick up your cross and just keep following him. Just walk in his ways. But see, the devil wants to lie to you. Say, man, you know what? I saw that. Oh, you know good. Just imagine if everyone heard that. He'll come and lie to you. This is why you need the word. What does the word say? Look at this in Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when you're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, come on, devil, throw it my way. I put on Teflon faith. So when those spears come, when the lies and the slanders come, when the backbiting comes, it'll slip off you. Why? Because you'll know your position in Christ. You'll know who you are in Christ. Look at this. For the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ in Jesus was made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus came to set us free. We were bound up and we were bound. I was so bound up in my sin. I didn't know what was right or wrong. I didn't know what was light or dark. I just knew that I was unright before men and women. I was unright before my parents. I was unright before my teachers. I was unright before all my family that's in law enforcement. My younger brother, he's an investigator for the DA's office. He used to also come and tell me, Fee, we know what you're doing. That's the grace of God, that God saved me at 30. And you know, all the things you guys know I was a part of, praise God, I never saw a speeding ticket. I really believe God was sparing my reputation for what the plan he had for me down the road. He did. He spared my reputation. That I would now walk above reproach before Christ, only through the power of God. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. We were all weak. We needed God. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So he took your sin, my sin, and God condemned it. And he imputed it on Jesus for you and I. Isn't that something? So here's the great exchange. Oh God, I give you my heart. And then he gives us a heart of flesh so that we could be renewed. And he gives us his spirit. He washes us. He cleanses us. He does the miraculous in our life. Man, He did it all for you. Because I need you to understand this one thing I'm trying to drive home today. That he loves you so much. He loves you so much. And God went such great lengths to save us. To send his only son that came from heaven, from his throne room. He came from heaven to die for you and I. I like to say it like this in a crude way, but he came down to be a roach like us. Because we were all what? We were all toe up. Like Brother G would say, we was toe up from the flow up. Huh? We were. We was all toe up when we came. That's right. But with God, he makes all things brand new. Listen, all of us, we're all new creatures in Christ. Can I get an amen? Yes. We're all new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, as I close, there were three at the crucifixion on that hill. There was a cross here, a cross here, and Jesus in the center. There was one thief on that cross who was so prideful. He said, if you're the Son of God, just go down and crush them all. And then the one over here said, Jesus, remember me. I deserve this punishment, but will you remember me? Jesus said, from this moment, you'll be with me in paradise. Thank you, Lord. Pride, humility. Amen. Pride, humility. I need you to catch this. Pride, humility. So if you give God your pride, he'll give you a heart of humility, and you will be, you'll just surrender and give everything to God, and God will do the miraculous in your life. You see, the one that had humility said this, look, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Remember me. And so as I close, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. I'm going to ask, yeah, thank you, brother. I promise I wouldn't be long-winded today. Praise God, they don't no longer have hometown buffet, right? Don't have to worry about the ribs. There's no more ribs there. We're gonna close. Amen. We're gonna close. But number one, how does a deeper understanding of what transpired on the cross affect your appreciation of salvation? What can you recall in your life? Some of you just gave your life. Some of you are maybe about to give your life to God. But some of you have been walking on the road for a long time. Can you recall anything in your life where you can say, oh my God, I so appreciate what you did and how you saved me. You didn't leave me. You didn't leave me in a pigsty. You didn't leave me out there to die in my sin. You came to save me. You came to shed your blood for me. You came that I would have life, eternal life. That even though I may still struggle in this body of flesh, I will have that assurance that when I close my eyes on earth, I will open them in glory with you. Can you recall those moments when God did for you? Number two, how could it change your lifestyle and priorities of what he's done? For me, he has delivered me from so much. But one of the things that he has given me is a heart to love people. I didn't know how to love. When I first got saved, he didn't allow me to be married to my beautiful wife. I had to learn first to love him. I had to be about my father's business. He knew the time frame. when he would bring that helpmate, that flower from his garden that he picked and present it to me and say, now, I'm ready for both of you to plow in my field by faith. And I'm very thankful. I couldn't do this on my own. I needed a strong, spirit-filled woman to come alongside. I don't know anything about children's church. I don't know anything about sewing clothes. I cannot minister to women because that's not my place. So God brought this beautiful wife, Sister Yolanda, to come alongside to say, I'm going to use both of you. And God is doing something beautiful in your lives. And he's about ready to do something beautiful in your life. God is just saying, slow your roll. I'm in control. And he loves you all. He loves you all. Last question and we'll close. How does this affect your perception and tolerance of sin in your life? For me, the things that I was involved in, when I look back at them, it's horrendous evil to me now. I didn't know that I was right in the hands of the devil. I was his puppet. I didn't know that my life could have been taken out at any moment and that God came to save me. And many of you can say, God, thank you for saving me. Every one of us had that divine appointment with God where he came beautifully to you and drew you by his love. Aren't you so blessed? He didn't come with a bat like Flintstone. Pap! Wake up. No. I would have never thought in my wildest dreams a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship, a custodian would lead me to the cross on the other side of a fence at 10 o'clock at night in the evening. I would have never drummed it up. I couldn't write a book about it back then. It was like so out of my thought life, but God led me that way. And back then, 32 years ago, if someone told me back then, you're going to be a pastor of a church one day, I would have said, what are you smoking? But he had a plan. And he has a plan for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He has a plan for all of us. Aren't you so blessed to know that he has a plan for all of us? And that he loves you guys so much? I need you to leave this place knowing that you are loved by him. You are so loved by him. And there is no darkness in God. And no matter what you're going through, what you've been through, no matter what is happening in your life, he's going to work it out. He's going to work it out in his time. And you're going to know it's him. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask our beautiful sister, Sister Linda. Sister Leah, do you want? Okay, you're going to come up? Okay. Sister Tammy, come on up. Sister Yolanda, come on up. If you need any prayer, this is a moment. Maybe you just want to just tell God, God, I love you. Maybe you haven't told God how much you loved him in a long time. Have them pray with you. Have them take you to a place where you'll either reconnect or God will assure you through the power of his spirit how much he loves you by his presence coming upon you. Maybe some of you haven't felt his presence in a long time. You're in a desert place. But I'm here to let you know that God wants to just shower upon you this day his love, his grace, his mercy. He wants to you to be rest assured that he'll always be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if that's you and you want to come and just ask for prayer for whatever the situation is, come now, come to the altar and ask God to bless you. And for those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook, we bless you in Jesus' name. We're gonna sign off now and say goodbye to you. But we wanna pray for those maybe are logged in that have never given their life to Jesus. We're gonna ask everyone here to pray with you right now before we log on. We're not just gonna cut you off. We're gonna give you an opportunity to receive Christ right now. So church family, pray this prayer with me for them, that God would move mightily for those who are logged in right now. Pray this prayer there at home, wherever you're at. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Amen, amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.